TechCity.com.
Well, sorry, technicals. I think I would be getting this ready during the last song. But I was too dizzy because we kept spinning the same direction the whole time. So maybe next time we do that, Emily, could you leave so we do like one way and then the other? I know that a lighthouse typically just keeps going, but that might be helpful for us. So, all right, so practicals, right? That's what it's all about. So we've been talking about the king and his kingdom. And we're looking at different passages in the Bible that tell us about Jesus and then the kingdom that he wants us to be a part of.
So there are all different kinds of people in a kingdom. There are wealthy people and poor people, healthy and sick people, old people and young people, men, women, and children, people of different races or colors. People also have different jobs in the kingdom. There are officials who work for the king. There are soldiers, farmers, bakers, teachers, sailors, horse trainers, builders, entertainers, and so many more. Now, I want to ask you guys a question. So for those of you at home, go ahead and answer this on your own. But I'd also like some audience participation for those of you who are here. So feel free to shout it out. Who would you want to be in the kingdom? Anybody else? Yeah, those are good ones. Dog, farmer, entertainer. All right. What would you want your job to be? Go ahead and shout it out.
What's your job? What do you want to do? Shout it out really loud.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody else?
A knight.
A knight?
An entertainer.
Entertainer. Those are all good answers.
Well, when a king rules over a land, all the people who are there, who live there, are part of that kingdom. But there's only one king in the kingdom, right? And everyone else who lives in the kingdom are called the king's subjects.
The king's subjects are all under his leadership. They need to know what the king says. They have to live by his rules. They also have to obey his orders.
So the king is the one who's in charge. Everyone else serves his purposes. And that's easier to do when the king is a good king and a fair king, right? But it's terrible when the king is bad.
Fortunately, when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is a very, very good king. In fact, he's the perfect king. He's good and loving and kind. He is fair and just.
And the good news is that everyone is invited into the kingdom. Everyone is welcome. But not everyone gets in because many reject the invitation. And Jesus told us a story to help us see that.
Luke chapter 14 says, "When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God.' But he said to him, 'A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at that time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused." And the other said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So the servant came and reported these to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, "Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame." And the servant said, "Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room." And the master said to the servant, "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet."
So there are many who reject the invitation to come to Jesus, like the people in the story that Jesus just told. So the first person said, "I bought a field and I need to go see it." And I'm thinking, really? Did you not look at the field before you bought it? Can't you go see it after the banquet? It's not going anywhere, right? That was just an excuse.
The second person said, I bought some oxen and need to examine them. Again, really, did you really buy some oxen without seeing them first? It was just an excuse.
And the third person said, I got married, so I can't come. Now, first of all, already he's letting his wife dictate his life. Which might be a good thing, but it's sad that that would be an excuse not to come to the banquet. And by the way, she would be invited as well, so bring her along. Getting married is a good thing, right? But it's not the excuse that should have got them out of the banquet.
And these weren't the only excuses people made. Jesus said they all began to make excuses. None of them had a good reason to say no.
And actually, there really is no good excuse when it comes to God's invitation to be a part of his kingdom. The only right response is to say yes to his invitation.
In this story today, we learn that God will let anyone into his kingdom. He's inviting everyone, and he will take whomever wants to come. But we need to say yes to him. The key idea for today, if you want to be part of the kingdom, all you need to do is say yes.
Can we say that together?
If you want to be part of the kingdom, all you had to do is say yes.
How about one more time?
If you want to be part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. That's kind of catchy. If only there was a little jingle or something that we could sing to help us remember it.
Well, Emily, it just so happens there is. And Otis is going to lead us in a little song. So let's give it up for Otis as he comes.
All right. Well, here we go. I'm going to sing this song for you. It's very catchy. This is actually an original song that was written by somebody else. So,
if you want to be part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. If you want to be a part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes.
Wow, this isn't going very well, is it? Usually, you know, when someone says, say yes, then you say yes. Can anybody out there say yes? Oh, that's good. That's good. All right. Hey, Dee Dee, can you say yes? Oh, good, good. Can you say no? You say, not yes, no. Can you say no? No? That's too bad. At least you can say yes. Come on up, Dee Dee. All right, now, Dee Dee, here, come stand over here for me. All right, now, Dee Dee, we've been working on your inside voice, right? Okay, all right. You're really good at your outside voice, right? Okay, can you say yes in your outside voice?
Yes!
All right, good, good. All right, okay, so here's what we're going to do, Dee Dee, okay? Every time I say yes in the song, you say yes. Okay? Should we try it? Okay, yes.
Yes.
What was that? Come on, where's your outside voice? All right, should we try it again? Should we try it again? Okay, all right, you ready? Yes.
Yes!
Good, good. You can go even louder, Dee Dee, okay? All right, okay, sure. Let's try it. We'll try it in the song. Okay, here we go.
If you want to be part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. If you want to be part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. That's good. Say yes. 2G, you missed it. Say yes. To him, say yes to Jesus, and you can enter in.
Good. Should we try it again? All right.
If you want to be part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. If you want to be part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to him. Say yes. to Jesus, and you can enter in.
Okay, now, there's a bridge to this song, too, okay? All right, you ready? Okay.
Will you say yes to him?
Yes!
I'll say yes to him.
Yes!
Will you say yes to him?
Yes!
I'll say yes to him.
Yes!
Will you say yes to him?
Yes!
I'll say yes to him.
Yes!
Say yes! Say yes! Say yes!
All right, that was pretty good practice, Dee Dee. Should we do it for real this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right, good, that's good. We'll do it for real. All right, here we go.
If you want to be part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. If you want to be part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to him. Say yes to Jesus, and you can enter in. Will you say yes to him?
Yes.
I'll say yes to him.
Yes.
Will you say yes to him?
Yes.
I'll say yes to him.
Yes.
Will you say yes to him?
Yes.
I'll say yes to him.
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Say yes. Say yes. If you want to be part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. If you want to be part of the kingdom, all you have to do is confess.
Oh, I got you. I thought I'd get you that one.
Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to him. Say yes to Jesus. And you can enter in. And you can enter in.
Yes, 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 yes. There you go. Good job.
That was fun. I'm a little loud. I apologize to all the folks at home who were watching me go for the last few minutes. So, so if you want to be part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. All right, that's our big point. One more time, if you want to be part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes.
All right, kids, so my dad is going to talk a little bit more about this for the adults. You can listen in if you would like, or you can quietly work on your coloring pages out of your booklets that we're putting together this summer. One page has pictures of all different kinds of people. Another one tells us or has like a key idea for today. And the last one invites you to draw a picture of who you want to be in the kingdom when you grow up. So go ahead and do that. It was really good to see all of you, and we'll do one more song later. So,
all right. Thanks, Emily, for helping out this morning. So if you want to be part of the kingdom, all you have to do is say yes. However, when we come to the feast or the kingdom, it's not our feast, right? It's not our kingdom. So we have to come on his terms, on God's terms, not our own. We don't make the rules, he does. We have to come on his terms. And I think there's a version of this story in Matthew that is you're going to recognize as a very similar parable. However, it has some variation to it. And so we're going to look through that, Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to kind of work through that and then share just a few thoughts on that as well for us this morning. It says this, and again, this is verses 1 through 14. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business." All right, can you see the parallel there? Oxen, land. But he adds this. While the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned the city. Right, so this particular version of this parable is a little more edgy. It reflected, though, on the prophets who were killed by kings and religious leaders and the people throughout history, and how those who had murdered his servants would be repaid for their wrongdoing. So this one is a little bit more edgy. And then the next part goes back to something similar again. It says, verse 8, "Then he," the master, "said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you can find.' And those servants went out to the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests." So again, pretty similar parable. But there's something else Jesus adds on at the end, and that's what we want to focus in on this morning. Verse 11. "When the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. The king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" All right, now the master comes in, notices someone who doesn't have a wedding garment, and throws him out. And not just out of the party, but into this outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That seems pretty severe, doesn't it? And you can tell that Jesus is talking more than just a wedding party or a feast at this point in time. He's talking spiritually about the kingdom in eternity. He says, because, you know, if that's the way that it would go, it wouldn't go like that if we showed up for, say, somebody's wedding or feast in shorts and sandals. Maybe they'd ask us to leave. You'd probably feel a little awkward, like, man, I got to get myself some better clothes. But this reaction would seem really harsh for someone who just came in wearing the wrong clothes, doesn't it? But of course, in Jesus' story, there's always so much more going on here. See, it would have been customary for the king or a master in a situation like this to provide some nice clothing for those who didn't have them. It was this incredibly generous gift. And everyone who was there who didn't have the right clothes, they would be given this garment. But this guy refused to accept it and came to the banquet anyway. It was like an insult. It was like a slap in the face. The master then asked the man, "How did you come here? Why is it that you had come here with no wedding garment?" And the man had no answer to give. Now again, there were many others who would have accepted it, and they were probably filled with gratitude for the invitation to the wedding and the garment that they were given. But this man refused to come to the banquet on the master's terms. And that's really the point of Jesus' story here. Right? And if you think about this, none of us are worthy to enter into the kingdom on our own. We have to be dressed appropriately to do it, but our clothes are all like filthy rags. And we need to have a robe of righteousness that we can put on. That robe of righteousness is only given to us through what Jesus has done for us on the cross, when we put our faith and our trust in him. He takes those filthy rags and gives us a new garment to put on, a garment that is one of righteousness. You know, that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." That's the one who's going to enter in. Well, what is the will of the Father? It's that we would believe in Jesus as the Son of God and put our faith and trust in him. That's doing the will of the Father in heaven. See, there's only one way we get into the kingdom. I mean, saying yes to him is what we have to do, but we have to come to him on his terms. We have to put on a robe of righteousness that makes us fit or dressed appropriately for the kingdom. That's a righteousness that comes through faith in Christ. We can't get in on our own merit. We can't do it. It's interesting because Jesus also in Matthew 5:20 said, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." See, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were all about doing the right things. They thought, you know, if we just do what God says, if we learn God's word and do what it says and do everything right and perfect, then we're going to get into the kingdom. And the best of the best are going to get in. Now, first of all, they were actually kind of hypocrites because even though they told everyone they had to do that stuff, they didn't do it themselves. But the point Jesus was making when he said that was like, look, just doing the good deeds is not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough. You have to have a righteousness that is better, a righteousness that comes and is given as a gift from God. We need to accept that gift, and that gift is Jesus. When we put our faith and trust in him, he replaces our filthy rags with his fine robes, and then we'll be dressed appropriately for the kingdom of heaven. Now, we have to remember that the kingdom of heaven, this kingdom is his, not ours. Right? We are the subjects. We are the king's subjects. Now, that can be difficult for us to swallow sometimes because we don't want to be like controlled by anyone. We want to have our way. We want to do our thing. Well, Jesus invites us to come in, but he wants us to come in, but we have to do it on his terms. We have to accept the gift of that robe of righteousness and put it on. Now, while it might be difficult sometimes to think about just being a subject because there's only one king and having to listen to him, the reality is, like at the beginning we talked about, Jesus is a very, very good king. He's a perfect king. He is good and loving. He is fair and just. And not only that, but he has gone the extra mile to show us how much he loves us and wants us to be a part of that kingdom. He died on the cross so that we could live. It was his death that made it possible for us to have this clean, beautiful garment, this robe of righteousness. Now, as we close this morning, the message time, I'm asking Emily to come back up to do one more song that the kids are familiar with, but most of us will be as well. And it's the song called You Are My King or Amazing Love. And the reality is that for us to say yes to Jesus, we're saying we want you to be our king. And we want to do that because of the amazing love you've given us. If we want to be part of the kingdom, all we have to do is say yes. But this morning we also say, Jesus, I'm coming to you on your terms because of what you did for me, because of what you did on the cross. What king would ever do something so generous and so much with so much sacrifice for all of his subjects, for anyone who'd want to come in? Jesus would. Jesus did. And so we're going to sing that song. Emily, if you want to come up, you can come up now, and I'm going to pray, and then we'll close our time with some worship. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have given us Jesus. We're so grateful that you have given us one who is willing to lay down his life for us and offers us the invitation to be a part of his kingdom. And this morning, in our heart of hearts, we want to bow down before you. We want to say we're grateful to be able to be your subjects because you are a great king, and we need you as our king, as our leader, as our Lord, as our Savior. This morning, as we pray this, if there is anyone who wants to take that first step and say, I have never surrendered my life to you, Jesus, and made you my king or my Lord, and I want to do that this morning, he hears you. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, would you be Lord of my life? I surrender to you. I believe you are the Son of God who gave his life on the cross and makes me right with God. And I want to enter into that kingdom. I want to say yes this morning. And just know that he hears your heart and he hears that prayer. And for those of us who have taken that step, again, we pray, just thank you, Jesus, for the incredible gift that you've done, for being such an amazing God with an amazing love and being an incredible king. We surrender, we bow down to you, we submit our lives to you, and we worship you in this time. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Let's...
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.